Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, August 18th, 2026. From the front page of the commercial news, we have several stories, and the first one today is titled Time to Dry Out. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Much like the childhood rhyme, asking rain to come back another day, people in the Midwest are hoping the rain will stop. In Danville, Ellsworth Park is buried underwater from flooding from the Vermilion River, closing the park for weekend activities. The water is covering the playground equipment and fields. That flooding caused issues elsewhere as well. Over the weekend, the flooding caused a portion of Interstate 74 to become impassable on Saturday. Illinois State Police Master Sergeant Nicholas Orndorff on Saturday morning stated that I-74 eastbound is being diverted onto US 150 at exit 200. I-74 westbound is also being diverted to US 150 at exit 210. Please exercise due caution and consider an alternate route if traveling in the area, Orndorff said. The roadway will be reopened once conditions improve. This information was provided at 9:30 a.m., and by Saturday evening, the road had opened. The villages of Catlin and Westville asked residents to conserve water. Our stormwater systems and mains are currently overloaded, stated the village of Catlin online. The system is slowly draining, but it will take time for the water levels to recede. They also say they are dealing with people driving through other people's yards. Driving through yards causes property damage and creates additional hazards for residents, Catlin shared. The village of Westville has shared their storm drainage system cannot keep up with the heavy rainfall. Our Public Works Department has been actively working to help keep water moving, including cleaning culverts and jetting storm drains to ensure they are flowing properly. They say, however, that at this time the ground is saturated, impacting the ability for the systems to keep up. The Oakwood Fire Protection District is urging drivers to take alternate routes. The Village of Tilton's Public Works Director T.J. George says there are road closures in their neck of the woods as well, including Keegan Street. Our crews are actively on site, deploying bypass pumping to relieve backups as quickly as possible, George shared on Saturday. During the wet weekend mess, the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office echoed other officials in asking people not to drive through flooded waters. If possible, please avoid unnecessary travel, as numerous roads in our county have sections that have standing and/or running water on them, VSCO shared. Remember, it takes just 12 inches of rushing water to carry away most cars, and just 2 feet of water can carry away SUVs and trucks. The Vermilion County Emergency Management Agency team is also urging residents to report damage to their self-assessment tool. There is a QR code that links to the assessment on their Facebook page, and you can also email ema@vercounty.org or call 217-443-6011. If they could fill out that self-assessment tool, that'll make it easier for us to figure out our greatest need, and we can get assistance through the government a little faster if we had all that stuff ready, already taken care of, Joel Bird with the agency added. Across the border in Indiana, Jim Morrison, the director of the Warren County EMA, says things are definitely looking better today, Monday, compared to the weekend. We are seeing water recede in some areas, but we're certainly not completely out of it yet, Morrison said. Warren County is still included in the flood warning, primarily because of the continued elevated river levels and the amount of water still working its way through the Wabash River system. Morrison says his agency did have to conduct one water rescue. We're continuing to monitor the river levels and any remaining road and drainage issues around the county, Morrison said. Even though the rain has moved out and some of the localized flooding is improving, the river flooding lags behind everything else and takes considerably longer to work its way downstream. The National Weather Service has also extended the flood warning for several rivers in Illinois and Indiana once again from Monday to Tuesday afternoon. The Vermilion River flood warning will continue until Tuesday afternoon at least. The agency says that at 9:15 a.m. on Monday, the river was at 23.6 feet. The maximum the river got to in the last day was 25 feet. The river is expected to fall below flood stage, which is 18 feet, by Thursday. Our next story, also by Christy Jankowski, is titled State Line Villages Stand Together. Cayuga, Indiana. Georgetown Fire Department helped across the border during flooding this weekend by packing around 600 sandbags with over 20 tons of sand. Rusty Berry, fire chief of the GFD, says he got a call from the Cayuga Fire Department requesting mutual aid for help with the flooding following torrential rains. I told them, state line really don't mean nothing to me, Barry shared about gathering up volunteers to head over the border. It's called working together as a community. Tim Wilson, the Cayuga fire chief, says the help was much appreciated. We bagged up around 600 to start with, Wilson said. We thought we'd try to get prepared. As to why and how the sandbags help, Wilson says it's all to try and keep water at bay. The drains where the river might back up, like the coverage, got two drains, storm drains there. They pull the river comes to the backs of the drains. We sandbag them to keep the water down there. Wilson said there are several flooded roads in the region, including, but not limited to, North Water Street, Water Street, and other roads. He added Indiana State Road 234 is already inaccessible due to heavy construction and now is dealing with rising water levels from State Road 63. Wilson added that firefighters are conducting 24-hour checks throughout the night to monitor the water levels around Eugene, Indiana. People don't realize it, but yeah, that's our job, to save lives and property. People's homes are their livelihood. That's where they live, Barry said. It wasn't about getting credit for it. It was about opening that road up so we could get through there if we needed to. One of their priorities is keeping water from flooding houses. If we had to do a house, yeah, get real heavy plastic. You put it down, then sandbags, and then you weave it around. That way it's supposed to keep the water out, Wilson said about where the efforts are going. Really thick plastic you lay against the house and put a sandbag down, plastic, sandbag, and then we go back around so it's all wrapped up in plastics. Barry says he has never seen this much rain at once, while Wilson says back in 1994 there were similar issues. I've never seen rain like this ever. I guarantee you we're going to break records, Barry said. We need maybe 3/4 of an inch more, and we'll break the county record of rainfall for this month. That place looked like the creek just jumped out on the road and went right down the middle of it, Barry added. R.J. Donovan, president and District 3 County Commissioner of the Vermilion County Commissioners Board in Indiana, said he was impressed by the teamwork. I would say it was a great team effort, by all organizations involved, Donovan said. The Cayuga Fire Department, Vermilion County Highway, Georgetown Fire Department, Vermilion County EMA, and the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department. When people and organizations come together, we can accomplish anything. I am very grateful for the collaboration and support from all agencies during this time of need. And we have one more flood story. This one is from the News Gazette and is by Jennifer Bailey. It's titled, Waters Receding, County Cleaning Up After Flooding, Few Remaining Village Mall Occupants Reopen. Danville. Damage assessments and cleanup continued Monday in Vermilion County after heavy rains caused flooding throughout the area and led to the temporary closure of the Village Mall over the weekend. Vermilion County Emergency Management Director Joel Bird reported that flooding was starting to level out. There have been a few roads closed or washed out for the last couple of days. No rescues that I am aware of since the beginning of this storm. The rivers are inundated with water and floodgates are still open as of now on Monday morning, but the rate is slowing down on the release, Bird wrote in a statement. He also reported they would be doing damage assessment today in parts of the county. The only county highway that we had closed is CH-10, just south of the Potomac village limits, Vermilion County Engineer Adrian Greenwell said. The water has receded, but the road remains closed as we are making repairs to the shoulders and the roadway surface. I'm not aware of any rescues within the county. Vermilion County Sheriff's Department Chief Investigator Captain Michael Hartshorn said no one had to be rescued from the floodwaters. Several roads were closed due to flooding, but anyone affected was able to evacuate on their own or chose to stay put, he said. School impacts also were being further determined as some schools started classes last week and others start this week. There was no impact to any of our schools over the weekend, Danville Superintendent John Hart said. In Oakwood, classes will start Wednesday. We will be driving bus routes Monday and Tuesday to see if there are any transportation issues with the roadways, Superintendent Andy Jordan said. In Danville, Ellsworth Park was flooded around the pavilions, disc golf course, football field, and other areas. Harrison Park Golf Course, through which the North Fork of the Vermilion River flows, remained closed on Monday. Officials said in a social media post that the course is unable to drain properly, leaving standing water in several areas. Along with the elevated river level, it also suffered tree damage. The interior portion of the Village Mall, which had had more significant water leaks and damage since earlier this year from hail and storms, closed temporarily over the weekend, but reopened on Monday. The mall reportedly is tied up in insurance and legal issues going back to previous owner Jimmy Virk. California-based Virk, with Danville Village LLC, owns the Danville County Market site at the Village Mall, including Pet Supplies Plus and Ross Dress for Less. County Market terminated its lease and closed last month due to roof and water issues. Workers have since been seen working on the roof. Virk does not own the interior mall section anymore. It was sectioned off and sold through an online auction to Grace Wren and Parkson Development LLC of Florida earlier this year for $1.25 million. Only a part of the interior is open to the public, including mall walkers, with bins catching water in many locations. Ropes block off access to closed sections. City Trends and Hibbett Sports are the only two stores remaining. Joann Fabrics, Dunham's Sports, and Bath & Body Works were among the last to close. Danville Area Community College also has a barber school and shop in the mall. Hibbett store manager Chelsea Nelson and associate Carmen Flannery said the water coming in during the weekend rain was really bad and damaged products in the store. They were on cleanup duty on Monday, with tarps over merchandise, fans blowing on wet areas, pieces of the ceiling on the floor, and other damage visible. Nelson, who has been the store manager for 4 years and with the store for 10, said they really only had an issue with water leaks earlier this year in the front left corner of the store, and then they just started popping up everywhere. "We'd be very busy right about now. Last weekend we were busy," Nelson said about back-to-school time and families shopping for new shoes and other items. Flannery said they've had school bags trashed with the roof leaks. They tell customers to watch their step around the store because they don't want anyone to fall. Nelson said people have been posting about the mall on social media and the public thinks they're closed. They were answering phone calls Monday telling people they are open. Nelson said other parts of the mall don't have as many leaks, such as the DACC barber space. "Of course, we get the bad wing," Flannery said. She said, "It sucks to watch the stores close one by one and the mall dwindle down to about nothing from its heyday. It used to be a decent little mall, that's for sure," Flannery added, saying that she loves a mall, but not this mall right now. Nelson said they've been cleaning the store themselves. She and others came in for 4 hours Saturday to get the floor dry and tiles down. Then there was more to clean on Monday, after the store was closed Sunday. She said even when it's not raining, she thinks with the mall's flat roof, there's still water up there and it's still leaking in. Nelson said Hibbett has been there since the early 2000s. She said the store has been negotiating its rent due to the unacceptable damage, and the store's contract was broken with all the other stores closing, leaving most of the mall empty. "The company was talking about moving us out of this mall before all this even happened, but they just couldn't find a space at the time," Nelson said. "They don't want to close us." She said everyone is waiting for what's going to happen next. When people say the mall needs to be torn down, Nelson said that feels rude because people work there and their livelihoods are impacted. "The worse it gets, it's going to be harder to save," Nelson said. "Is it actually savable is really the question." And we have no obituaries today, so we're going to continue with some other stories from the commercial news. And the next one is by Christy Jankowski and is titled "Moonglow Bar and Grill Up for Sale." Danville. Local burger joint favorite Moonglow Bar and Grill is up for sale, not closing. For 64 years, the Moonglow has been a family fixture in the community, with owner Phil Adams saying he is ready to retire. "Moonglow has been in my family for 64 years. I've been there all my life," Adams said. "I'm 74 years old, and I've put all my life into that place." The family business started in 1962 with Adams' father. "I took over from my father in 1980. I bought my father out and bought my sister out in 1980. He said he gave me heck for making a hamburger so big, but I said it'll be a niche, and it turned out to pay off big time." He adds that Angel Smith has been with the business for a long time. "I got a little gal that's been with me 26 years. She's been loyal to me and she stayed," he says about Smith. And he wants people to know that just because he is retiring, the restaurant is not closing. No, we're not closed. We're going gung-ho, he said. I'm 74 years old, and I've put all my life into that place. We are open and running full menu, the eatery shared. They said that as long as the weather permits, they are still lighting their charcoal grill every Friday and Saturday. They have lunch specials for just $12, Tuesday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the owner says it's time, while adding that it's the people who have made the restaurant a community staple. I've seen a lot of things go through the community. I've done a lot of things for the community. The community has treated my family well, he added. I've had success. A lot of good people. I've seen a lot of people come through. As for when Adams is looking to retire, he says the date is not set in stone just yet. Our next story is from Capital News, Illinois, and is by Maggie Dougherty, and Ben Zielinski. It's titled Data Centers Emerging as Key Issue in Illinois Governor's Race. When Governor J.B. Pritzker signed tax incentives for data centers into law in his first year as governor in 2019, Republicans and Democrats celebrated the plan as an economic driver. In today's world, data centers are as critical a part of our infrastructure as our roads, trains, and schools, Pritzker said in October of 2019. With the legislation I signed into law, we are welcoming a surge of economic development, labor income, and good union jobs to Illinois. Now, 8 years and nearly two full terms later, the governor has paused those incentives as the onset of data centers has stressed energy and water resources, and public opinion has swiftly turned against the tech behemoths. At the crux of the changing debate on data centers is the advent of artificial intelligence. The technology requires a new class of data center, hyperscale, always-on facilities that require massive amounts of energy. We weren't talking about AI hyperscalers back in 2019, Pritzker said at an unrelated news conference earlier this month. I've already taken action. We've taken away the data center tax credits that existed, but it's with the goal of getting legislation that will ensure that the people of Illinois, the businesses of Illinois, are not having burdened upon them higher electric rates, higher water rates, or having environmentally unsound practices by these data centers. Polling conducted this spring on behalf of the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition, which has led the push for data center regulations, showed Illinoisans from across the political spectrum favoring legislation that would require hyperscale data centers to bring their own energy and establish new reporting requirements on water use and environmental impacts. Pritzker's Republican opponent, Darren Bailey, has also evolved in his support of data centers. While seeking to seize on their unpopularity by blaming the governor for the incentives package, he's making AI a major piece of his campaign strategy. To be anti-AI, anti-data center, that's not what this is all about, Bailey said in an interview. This is about protecting the people. The changing public perception of data centers tracks with the evolution of the industry, and that's led to political candidates to take notice. I think political candidates have sort of realized more within the last year or so just how important this issue is to voters, because it goes so far beyond just energy bill impacts. Illinois Environmental Council spokesperson Hannah Flath said, regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of where you live in the state of Illinois or across the country, you have a reason, at least one reason, to be concerned about data centers. Per the Clean Jobs Coalition survey, when respondents were asked whether they would support regulations on data centers to minimize their impact on our utility bills, climate, and water while still allowing them to be built. 68% of respondents said they would somewhat or strongly support such legislation. Support was slightly stronger at 71% among Democrats and independents, though 62% of Republicans also supported the idea. Bailey told Capital News Illinois that finding ways to regulate data centers falls back to one of the themes of his campaign, affordability. He said new utility regulation for the facilities will help lower Illinoisans' utility bills, while ending tax credits will lower property tax burdens as data centers cover a greater share. Our next story is also a staff report, and this is titled Back to School Event Provides Support for Students and Families. Danville. Three agencies recently collaborated to offer school necessities in one central location. Spearheaded by the Vermilion County Regional Office of Education, the Back to School event provided support for students in the ROE's Attendance Improvement Program. The participation of the Vermilion County Health Department and the OSF Caravan gave families the convenience of obtaining physicals and immunizations while they were at the ROE. During the ROE's Step Forward event, participating students were provided new shoes and socks by Mike Lindemann, owner of Body and Soul Sports, as well as essential school supplies and alarm clocks. The ROE is excited to be able to offer these key items and convenient access to required immunizations and physicals, which set our students up for success, said Aaron Hurd, Regional Superintendent of Schools. Our hope is that it boosts student confidence and alleviates some of the challenges associated with the start of the new school year. Immunizations remain available at the Vermilion County Health Department at 200 South College Street in Danville, while physicals may be obtained at all OSF clinics as well as the Caravan. And finally, from the local and community briefs, we have Hoopston Library Salutes Dog Month. August is National Dog Month, and Hoopston Public Library is celebrating these dog days with some fun activities and a donation drive for the Hoopston Animal Rescue Team, or HART. During August, bring in, email, or share a picture of your dog to the library's Facebook or Instagram pages, and you and your dog will each receive a small treat. All submitted dog photos will be on display near the upstairs main desk. For more information, contact the library at 217-283-6711. Don't currently have a dog? You can still get a treat if you bring in a donation for the Hoopston Animal Rescue Team. Lists of HART's most needed items and donation bins are located both upstairs and in the children's room. And in Danville, Chris Healthy Aging, in collaboration with the YMCA of Danville, is offering Fit and Strong Falls Prevention Classes. Classes will be held from 10 to 11:30 a.m. every Tuesday and Thursday through November 5th at the YMCA in Danville at 1111 North Vermilion Street. There are 24 sessions, each lasting 90 minutes, with 60 minutes of exercise and 30 minutes of discussion and education. Join us for warm-ups, aerobics, weightlifting, cool-downs, and a great time. To register for this class, contact the YMCA of Danville at 217-442-0563. And for more information about Chris Healthy Aging, call 217-443-2999. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, August 18th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.